you did not make Wednesday night, this is all going to be brand new material to you. If you were here Wednesday night, it might be just a little bit of a recap on a few things that I have to say today. Jeff and I were in the security room earlier. I shouldn't have said that word, but in the usher's office earlier. And by the way, yes, we have security. And there was this guy talking on the screen, that little small church in Charlotte that everybody sometimes watches, Loran Livingston. Jeff didn't know it, but I picked up on something that he said. And then Scott came out here and said basically the same thing in a nutshell. Loran was saying something to the effect, I couldn't hear exactly what he was saying, but he was saying something like that when a preacher preaches, we're preaching a message to the saving of your soul. And he's a lot more animated and forceful at times than I get pretty bad myself. And then Scott basically said the same thing, that when we preach, a lot of times it's the pastor coming back under fire for what he's preaching. Now, for those of you that have been here over the last month, you know that we've been talking about a theme about adventures with the Holy Spirit. I've talked a whole lot about that. I've talked a lot about it, preached a lot about it, and I'm not done yet. But yet there's certain scriptures that I believe that we need to talk about. And the reason I say that we need to talk about it, and again, I want to express myself and say this again to you. This is not about a religion today. It's not about a particular denomination this morning. So I'm not going to preach Church of Godism. And I'm not even going to preach religious things. I want to try my best to preach what's in the Bible. And in so doing so, I'm sure that what I'm getting ready to do and say is probably not going to set very well with modern culture today. But be it said, we don't serve modern culture today. We serve the God of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. We serve a Jesus that the angel said that this same Jesus that you see go away shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go. Well, let me just debunk one thing as I get started here this morning, because there are those that will say, well, I just don't believe in all of that. It ain't up to you to decide what's going to happen. It is already written that Jesus told us in the book of Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, the Christian, we who are alive shall be joined up to meet the Lord in the air. This thing is already planned out. The question is, have you made preparations to go with him when he comes? Well, that's not even the message today, but it will happen. Years ago, I preached these same scriptures maybe in a little bit of a different way. And at that time, I used the title for the message, Living Right in a World Gone Wrong. And I want to try to do that again this morning, because you can look around you today where it seems like that the norm of society is the very things that are contrary to what the Bible says we ought not to be engaged in, nor participate in. Well, here you go, preacher. You're just an old-fashioned Bible thumper, and you know, you're getting older by the day. You are too, and you'll catch up with me if you live long enough. But I found out something over the last X many years doing what I do, not just preaching, but trying to live for God, that God's always right. His word is yea and amen. His word is forever settled in heaven. Matter of fact, there wasn't a committee meeting this morning held that was going to determine whether God was right or not. God is the creator and he's always right. So with all of that being said, there's a conflict going on. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we talked about the book of Ephesians, whereby we are to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, if you want to turn back there and read it at your time, where that the writer Paul of the book of Ephesians told us all to be prepared in the Roman soldier's description as he used there with our helmet of the helmet of salvation. And he goes through the whole armament, whether it be the belt of truth, the loins girt with truth, and whether the shield of faith, the sword of the spirits, which the world. He goes through the whole thing. In this, the reason being is because Paul understood through all of Paul's writings, even though Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against the demonic forces, the principalities, the powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of darkness. Paul mentions all of that. In that, his purpose was to let you know that there's a conflict. There's a crash, if you will, of the culture in between the Christian and the non-Christian. So Paul comes back and again in the book of Romans, and Paul begins to teach us in the Scripture. And I want to stay today in the Scripture. We see this in the book of Romans chapter number 8. For those that was with me on Wednesday night, just say amen every now and then and just act like you hadn't heard part of this, okay? But for the rest of us, I want to go back into this for just a few moments. With that being said, I want to somehow let you know I'm not preaching this in any fashion that would be like I'm some sort of spiritual giant. I try to live my life in a spiritual manner. And I say that not trying to diminish my own life, but yet in the same regard, I want to say that in a way to where I'm not speaking down to anybody, nor in any type of condescending way as to where you may feel that I've already attained a level of spirituality that you'll never be able to attain. That is not my goal today. But Paul was writing this letter to people that once again was very engaged and very engrossed in a sickening society. And I mentioned this Wednesday night. It's not the message of the morning, but you can go back into Romans chapter 1, and it even said, and this piggybacks on Scott's lesson a little bit this morning, where the Romans chapter 1 says that they were so deluded, I guess is the word I can talk about, in their flesh, that they began to do things that was very contrary to God and to God's nature. Men with men and women with women. And then they ended up saying that they left they began to serve the creature more than the creator. Birds and all kinds of images and beasts and things of that nature. That the spiritual condition of the men, of the people of that time was very deplorable, and it was very horrible at that time. So Paul begins to write these letters to Rome, and he began to write them the principles of holiness and the principles of righteousness as it pertained to the Christian life, as the cultures clash, how that the Christian is to live and how that the sinner lives. And Paul picks this up again in Romans chapter number 8. And he begins this in verse 1. And he says, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Those are the saved ones. Those are the born again ones. Those are the ones that confess Jesus with their mouth, believe Jesus in their heart. Those that are living this thing called the Christian life. And then he goes back and he says this in the middle part of verse 1. And he says, who walk, look at this next word, not after the flesh. But he says, but after the Spirit with a capital letter, which describes the Spirit of God. When we think about this, Paul was already telling them that when you look at this, he's re-emphasizing how that the Christian is supposed to walk upright before God in a culture that has gone wrong. Now, I'm not going to chase this rabbit right here very long. Whether you realize it or not, you're sitting in a Pentecostal church. Whether you realize it or not, the Church of God is a holiness church. Amen? And we believe in living a pure and a holy life the best way we know how as unto God. But our holiness does not come out of our own workings of our flesh. I know where I'm at this morning. I've been down this road before. A lot of times in the church, we were always told what you cannot do way, 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 way before we were ever told what we could do. But I'm going to tell you this, straight up, flat-footed, shoulders squared up. If you are saved today, you are not going to look for an excuse or a reason to sin. Period. If you have a desire to go out or whatever and do wrong and sin, you need to get saved. You need to rededicate your heart to God. You say, well, you're awful boastful and you're judging me already. No, your own actions judge you. You want to go back a couple of weeks ago, and we want to go back to the lessons I talked about out of the book of Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. Where verses 18 down through about 23, where it talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. And then therefore you can judge your own life by what the Bible says. But for this lesson, for this message, Paul was writing this, and he says that we are not living under condemnation of our sins. We're not living under the condemnation of our past. Why is the reason we no longer walk pleasing after the flesh, but we walk pleasing after God? Now, verse 2, he says, and there again, you folks forgive me that was with me on Wednesday night. There's a few things here that I wanted to continue to talk about here for a few minutes this morning. One of the first things that we see is in verse 2, number 2, when Paul was writing this, he says, for the law of the Spirit... The law of the Spirit of God, is life. And he says that. When Jesus was telling us in the book of John, and you don't need to turn there, Kathy, but I'll go ahead and mention this. He says that the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's job description. If you ever see a job description of the devil, that's it. But Jesus said in his, he said, but I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. And in this scripture, he says, for the law of the Spirit, the Spirit of life, life more abundantly, Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says in the book of Romans, again, in the book of John, I'm sorry, we're not going to turn there. I mentioned it Wednesday night. If the Son is therefore set you free, you shall be free indeed. Which means that God has brought you out of the bondage of sin, and you are no longer a slave to sin. You are no longer one that is in the grip and in the bondage of sin. That because the Bible lets us know that we have been given a brand new life, if you will. And he says it over and over in the scripture. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. The old man has passed away. Behold, all things become new. But when you look at this in the scripture, we understand that Jesus has come and Jesus has made me free. I don't know, but that is a very liberating scripture because he has made me free from the law of sin. They must be selling hot dogs in the hallway. Get me two on your next trip. But when we see this, we see when we look into the scripture that God has broke the bondage of sin off of us. I don't know how that makes you feel today, but you ought to be shouting hallelujah, because you are no longer a slave. You're no longer in bondage to the thing. I don't know about you, but I know how I feel. We sing the song, Brother Tim, I am free. I am free, free, free. I'm not walking under, Brother Robert, the grip of Satan. So in this, again, Paul outlines these things in Romans chapter 8. I may have time to go back into Romans 6 a little bit, but let's focus right here for just a moment. Let's see what Paul is saying. So when you see this in verse number 3, he says, for what the law could not do, what the law could not do. One writer was actually talking about that, and he talked about how that sin actually was weak in what it was strong in what it could do, but it had no might. It had no might, and I can't remember where I wrote that down. I'll get into that later. But he says here in the scripture, he says, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Of course, the Bible lets us know that he made an open show of sin openly, if you will. That Jesus, again, he took all of that on himself, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now watch this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, there is no way, if you go back in the Old Testament and you go back in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter number 8, 9, 10 into 11, that the law could not set you free from sin. It only atoned sin. It only covered sin. But thank God, and I want to say it again, that when Jesus came to set you free from sin. What did I say, Bob, Wednesday night? Jesus didn't come to save you in your sin. Come on. Somebody says, well, I got to sin a little bit every day. No, 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 no. You do not have to sin a little bit every day. That is buying into the lie of the devil. Because we know that the Bible lets us know that Jesus, the law couldn't do it. The law could not do that. But Jesus came and destroyed sin for us. And now we live not after the flesh, but we live after the Spirit. Now, I'm going to get into that. I'm going to get into that as we walk our way through this. And what it talks about, actually, to be led of the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. The third thing is, God willing, I have a little bit of time to do this. We're going to talk about living in the Spirit. So the first thing we want to talk about is actually found in walking in the Spirit. We look at this and we talk about walking in the Spirit, and understand walking in the Spirit is something that we look at. Is Paul described the Christian in daily activities of what you do on a day-to-day basis. It actually implies, if you will, guides, and it uses it in a lot of different ways. But he implies motion, if you will. It implies, where are you going? Not only in your physical man, but where are you going in your spiritual man? I'm not going to take the time to go there, but there are spiritual disciplines such as prayer and Bible reading and things of that nature that will get you into a deeper place with God so that we can walk by being led of the Spirit. Walking again is a daily activity by which we, of course, progress in our Christian life, if you will. Walking, it talks about the progress of one's life. Breaking off the old sinful habits, if you will. And the Bible reminds us in the book of Romans 6 and 12, I believe it is. And I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to mention it to you if you're taking notes. To let not sin reign in your mortal body. I hope this is okay today. When you think about, and I think I will go there. Let me go back there for just a minute. Romans 6 and 12. And when you look at this, this is what Paul was saying. The same guy. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that it should that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. That word reign, when you look this word up, you know what it means? It means to lodge there. It means to lodge. To put it in a little bit better context, it means set up housekeeping. By that, I mean, yeah, every now and then, once in a while, the devil's going to tempt every person in this room. Every person in this room, at some point in your life, you will be tempted to sin. Well, how do you know that, preacher? I'm the preacher. But every now and then, the old devil tries to trip me up. Come on now, somebody. The devil tries to throw something in front of me that I know that I'm not to be a participator in, or I keep my tongue in my mouth so I won't wag it and talk about somebody. I don't get into gossip. Go back into Proverbs, and you can read that. Go back into the book of James, and you know, we think about adultery. We think about sensual things, fornication or whatever. But gossip, according to the Bible, is just as wrong as anything else. Every now and then, man, I got to watch my mouth. I got to reel that old tongue in, because it's a poisonous. It's poison. It's like a flame of fire. It's like something that the Bible describes like even like a little member of the body that cannot be tamed. We don't like to talk about stuff like that, do we? I tell you what, we got to be careful in that area as well as all the other things, these other things as well. But when we think about that, he tells us in this scripture, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it lodge there. Don't let it set up housekeeping there. Don't let it be like a chigger. I've talked about this before. What in the world is a chigger? We call them chiggers in the mountains. You call them red bugs in the Piedmont area. It's like a little red bug that'll get in your legs in the weeds, and boy, them things will burrow down underneath the skin and they'll itch like fire. And I tell you, you can't hardly get rid of them. That's what a chigger is. But see, these things, if we let sin, and the Bible says that the end result of sin is death. Is this okay? So Paul talked about this a lot. Why? Why? Paul didn't talk about these things to scold you. Paul didn't talk about these things to condemn you. Paul wrote these things so that you and I would be a candidate for heaven. And you know, God's not trying to tell you you can't have fun going through life. Come on, somebody. Well, you sound like an old fogey. You just sound like you don't do anything but sit around in your living room and eat peanuts, and you don't ever get outside and live in the real world, because the real world is sinful. It is, but we have to make a decision of what we're going to be a participator in. Come on now, somebody. If this ain't affecting you, throw it over the shoulders of the person behind you. But I guarantee you, every person in this room, if we let our spiritual life go, if we are not walking by the Spirit, my friend, every person in this room is subject to the demise of the enemy that lives. And every person in this room could quickly find themselves in a spiritual slumber, if you will, and find yourself in trouble. Hello? I've had to do it, folks. I have to guard my life. I live in a fishbowl. I live in a glass house. Because everybody's looking at the preacher. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not perfect. I don't live a perfect life. You can ask her every now and then, not often. But here's the thing. You have to walk by the leading of the Spirit. And that's what Paul was trying to get to in the book of Galatians. He talked about be led of the Spirit. As you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says that. So let me go into Romans 8. I know this is a lot, but for those of us who's been around the church for a long time, this is common preaching to us. Because we were told as young people, there's some things you need to stay away from. How many young people, I'm not picking on the young people, but I want the young people to hear me. How many young people have lived lives of regret because you made a moment's decision that you've had to deal with the rest of your life. I'm not picking on the girls, because the guys are just as guilty as the girls. Amen, amen, and amen. In a moment's time, you'll make a decision. Am I doing okay, honey? 9 months later, you're changing diapers. Is that plain to be able to say that? You know, they'll make a decision about addiction and about habits and about parties and about things that starts off in a very simple little, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to try that, or this ain't too bad, I heard this was good. I mean, all of those things that this, how many of you know the devil is wily, the Bible says, that he's slick, if I can use that word. And he's going to do anything and everything to trip you up and to think, make you think that it's okay. And I'll tell the young people, I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. I've learned a lot in the last 25 years about young people. But I also know as a dad and as a parent and now as a grandparent, I've got five, counting the little one. I got a lot of young people in my vision, my children and grandchildren. And I want to show them, Brother Steve. I don't want to tell them. I want to show them as God lets me to live, however long He lets me live. If He lets me live till I'm 100, I want to show these kids all, as they're growing up under my feet, what it's like to have a papaw, a poppy, that serves God, that loves God, that one that walks so they can see me, and maybe, hopefully, I can impact their little lives. Because the devil, the Bible lets us know, I'm not trying to preach this morning, I'm just trying to share with you what's on my heart. Why did Paul write this? Again, when sin is conceived, it bringeth forth this thing at the end that's called death. And God is for you and not against you. God is not your enemy. God, and let me go ahead and say this. I'm meddling, I realize that. But anybody that would ever ask you or to young people for you to do anything that you would have to go against your consciousness over, your convictions over, you get away from that person as quick as Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. You run, if you have to put speedball on the bottom of your tennis shoes, you get away from it. Because they don't care about you. They don't care about you. Anybody that would ever ask you to do anything that would go against your consciousness, your convictions, and something that you know is sinful, stay away from them. Period. Why? Because the Bible teaches the Christians that we are to live not by the ways of the flesh, but by the ways of the Spirit. And again, Paul did this in Romans 8, over and over. Let me share a few more nuggets with you. So in this, he says, and again, back in Romans chapter 8 and 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. See, that is a self-evaluation. He says, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's why the pastor don't have to bring any type of condemnation to the pulpit. Because you look at your own life. You know whether you're living for God or not. You know if you're right with God. You know if you're living that life. I don't even have to determine that. It's not my job to determine that. I'm just delivering the mail. I mean, don't get mad at the mailman, you know. You made the bill, not me. I mean, you know. Don't get mad at your mailman for bringing that car payment. I mean, you know, he didn't do it. I'm just bringing the mail, you know. But look in verse 6. When you look in verse number 6, he says this. He says, for to be carnally minded, and that is worldly minded, thinking like, acting like, being like, the means and the ways of the world that are contrary to the means and the ways of the Spirit. Hey, it might be tight, but it's right. It might hurt your feelings, But sometimes you need your feelings hurt. Sometimes you need to be told the truth from God's word. And again, Paul was writing this. Paul was not trying to condemn. Paul was writing this so that they would make it to heaven. It is the greatest calling of God on your life today, friend. And you say, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You're in the world. What does the Bible say, Bob? But you're not of the world. We're here, but this is not our home. We're like pilgrims as Abraham and etc. We're just passing through. And please forgive the preacher if I say something wrong before I say it. But Cindy came right in here last Sunday night. And Letha's sister-in-law. Last Sunday night. Got up. Went to the pulpit. The choir was behind her. Going to get up and sing a special. She's talking about singing a song about going to heaven. She started singing that song and fell right over dead in the pulpit last Sunday night at Hillside Park Baptist Church. So don't say, I've got 20 years to sow my wild oats and kick up my heels and be happy, happy, happy. No, even young people today, live your life today. I was telling Haven earlier, Shannon, live your life so there's no regrets. Live your life for Jesus. Live your life so that when you get older that you know that you've lived a life unto God. I'm going to tell on myself. My mom is probably listening, and it's okay. I heard my daddy, and I heard my papa. I've said this in this church before, but I got a new crew to hear this. I heard him, James, say, oh, buddy, I tell you what, boy, I tell you what right now. If I knew then what I know now, things in my life would be a lot different than they are now. And I'd hear that as a kid, like 9, 10, 11, 12 year old. And I would think, well, why in the world do you want to live your life so miserable? Why would you want to live your life in a manner that when you get older, that you've lived a life of regret? So that you would say, well, I'd live my life different than what I would live my life now. And I heard that and I thought, well, God, help me to live my life in a way and in a fashion that's pleasing unto you, that when I get older, that I won't have to say, if I knew now or then what I know now, I'd live my life a lot different. God's hands bless this man. I tell you, I've had heartaches. She's had heartaches. We've had ups and downs. But Mama B, he had enough grace on me as a teenager. Amen. To tell me what to do and to lead me. And all through life, Steve, I've tried my best to live that life pleasing to him. And as I look back over things, I can just say, thank God I lived that life that I can say I don't really have that many regrets. I mean, this is the best thing that ever happened to me outside of Jesus. Y'all don't know that. I know it. I'm telling you, I know the truth about that situation. I want to ask you a point blank question. And again, I just preach what's on my heart. I don't always have point one, point two, point three hermeneutics. This different types of preaching and all the exegete, the script. I want to be real. I want to be real. I want to live this life with you. But this is what I believe the Holy Spirit wanted me to ask at the end of this service. And I'm not done with this message, I promise. I've dug into this for weeks and just worked on it during the week. I've got, you wouldn't believe. Stand with me, then we'll go to the next thing. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to me right now. It's going to be punctual. It's going to be point blank. What is in your life right now that is displeasing unto God? What is it? If you had to stand before the Lord right now and Him put the transparent light upon you, what would He see? Is there things in your life that you could not stand before God over right now? You may not make your way to this altar today. And to be honest with you, that's not my main focus. Well, people say, well, we used to have really good altar calls. We did, and we should. Not going to take away from that. But if you're standing right there this morning, and if the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, and if the Holy Spirit is showing you things in your life that ought not to be there, it's between you and Him anyway, right? So you and God, as you stand right there this morning, you need to ask the Lord to help you with those. If there's sinful things, you need to say, you need to confess those sins, but you need to say, Lord, forgive me. If you're here and you've never been saved, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. You say, Pastor, how in the world do I get saved? How in the world? Listen, you're going way out there on me on that one, Pastor. How do you get saved? The Bible said if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. That we've got to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. That with our mouth confession is made, and with our heart we believe, and that is leading us into salvation. We confess our sins. Who are you confessing it? Do you have to go to a booth somewhere and look through a little door and confess it to the person on the side? No. The Bible said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ the righteous. We confess our sins to Jesus. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. We ask Jesus to come into our life. We ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. Wash us and make us a brand new person. Cover us with His precious red blood and forgive us. God's only Son did this so that we, by the Spirit, are led of the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. And then, my friend, that we are not walking after the power and the dominance and the control of the things of the flesh. We walk according to the Holy Spirit of God, God's Spirit, in new birth. We're a brand new creature. That's what Jesus and Nicodemus had that long talk about in John chapter 6. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, Father, we come before You tonight. We come before You tonight to love You, to honor You, and to praise You, and to thank You. Father, help us to walk this thing out day by day, hour by hour. Father, the old song that says, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee every step of the way. And Father, I pray for these around this room. If there are those, God, when the question was asked, is there anything in your life that you and God need to work out? Lord, I pray You come into their heart, come into their life. If that's you, you need to ask Jesus right now, Lord, forgive me. Lord Jesus, wash me. Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Lord Jesus, help me. And turn away from the life of sin. Turn away from the life of evil. And turn your life over to the Lord. So Father, I shared my heart. I shared what, Lord, for days You've put in my heart. For days, Lord, You've put it there. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but God, it's by Your Spirit. So Lord, let there be an evidence of Your Spirit in this room today. Let there be an evidence of the power of your Spirit. God, did somebody make up their mind? Lord, I'm leaving here different than I came. I'm leaving here as your child, as your son, your daughter. No longer in the bondage of the flesh. No longer controlled by the flesh appetites and the things that are destructive. But I come today simply believing you, Lord. And Father, I ask you this. Through and by your dear son, Jesus. For it's in his name I pray. In his name I ask. If that's you today, if anybody in this room made a decision to follow Christ, let me know it. We're going to have a baptism in a few weeks. And I won't get into that right now. But it would be a perfect opportunity. Brother Tim, choir practice, 4:30 this evening. Service time at 6 tonight.